And it is possible, it is certainly possible in this month to approach those divine realities, to come close to them. Why? Listen very carefully. There is a statement, you are what you eat. It is said about the devatas, the residents of the higher planets, that they drink soma juice every day, and by this intake they become immortal. You are what you take inside. You are what you eat or drink. This of course works also in the opposite way. If you drink every day whiskey and you eat meat, then that will show also, most probably in a negative way. It will affect your health in an undesired way. So just imagine, the term eating is not restricted to only what you take through the mouth or drink through the mouth. No, it refers to ahara or any sensual intake, whatever you hear, whatever you see, whatever you smell and touch will form you, shape you. Every cell of your subtle body will be influenced and either nourished or depleted by what you see, what you hear. And imagine now someone who fasts the world and feasts on spiritual impressions, how he will change. If I don't take certain normal experiences any longer, I don't see, hear, and most important, think about the things which occupy us all in this world. I'm not taking in any anxieties, any material greed, any disturbance, no. But I'm only chanting, reading, remembering, meditating and worshipping Krishna. Wow! That will shape me. That will entirely influence and uplift my consciousness to the better. It is an absolute law. You are what you eat. You are what you take in. So, during the month of Kartik, or it can be also done obviously at any time, any day of the year, if someone takes in only the nourishing input of Krishna consciousness, he will make Krishna conscious experience. He will actually have momentary glances of Radha and Krishna. He will experience also very nice devotional feelings, desires to move on this path. And he will naturally lose his strong appetite for material illusions and that entangle the soul always. There is even such a verse, Bhakti Parishano Bhavo Viraktya Anyatra Chaisha. I think you do know and recognize this verse, which says that if you make nourishing Krishna conscious experiences, you will experience three things. You will experience great satisfaction you will experience perception of Krishna in some form or another, and you will become detached from material entanglement. That is one of the principles which makes made this stay or Kartik Vrata, even though it was done in Europe, so successful. And it's a principle which all of you, all of us, can take with us. If you can't fast the world entirely due to these deeply ingrained habits and patterns, but if you take on more and more spiritual nourishment, you will automatically come on the right path of experience of Krishna. This is the first thing I wanted to talk about. This, of course, works especially during such a blessed month, where every little effort in spiritual life is rewarded million times over. The second theme which I would like to address is something which I tried to explain during my Kartik inspirations. You are where your mind is. This year we could not physically go to Vrindavan. One devotee, Madhava Prabhu, was able, because he is an overseas Indian passport holder, to go, and he made all these, or most of these, wonderful pictures, fresh pictures from Vrindavan as it looks today, or looked at during the month. No? But most of us, including all of you, including all of you, we're staying in Europe, America, China, Alaska, or wherever. But you could maybe see that you could go or contact Vrindavan. And this is due to a very special feature, which I can best explain by sharing with you the crowning ceremony of Srimati Radharani, where she was officially declared to be the Queen of Vrindavan. Purnamasi conducted this beautiful ceremony, and on the morning of the ceremony, she dressed in a white sari, took on an asan, a sitting place, and in her mind called the heavenly ladies, Uma, Samya, Chaya, the wives of the sun god. By meditation, she called for them, and all of a sudden, all the rich Basis who were there for this ceremony where Radharani was based as the queen of Vrindavan and adorned and ornamented as such, all of a sudden they heard a deep rumbling sound. Chariots were coming through the air, and then the atmosphere became full of a very unusual light, and they could see chariots parking a little bit away, and out of these chariots the heavenly ladies, the wives of the great demigods who had been called by Purnamasi, were alighted. thing. They moved as if they floated and came to Purnamasi. Purnamasi said, Swagatam, welcome, heavenly ladies. The pedestrian or podium is ready, and there you see on the throne Brishabhanu Nandini Srimati Radharani. And yes, Radharani was sitting there waiting for one person, that is Sri Krishna. She only had in mind, when will Krishna arrive? I'm only making this for his pleasure. When will he come? So they moved over and they showered Srimati Radharani with flower petals, while Purnamasi was chanting mantras. And as they affectionately worshipped Radha, a light came out of Radha, and all of Vrindavan, even the bulls and the calves, were bathed in this golden loving effulgence of Srimati Radhika, who accepted the worship. So as Sangya, she's one of the two wives of Surya, saw this effulgence, she said, this Radha is more fortunate even than Lakshmi Devi, and her kingdom should be very, very vast. It should be the whole and entire universe. But I see that this Vrindavan is a small place, hardly 40 square miles in size. So when the sister of Krishna, who was also there, heard this, she answered, oh, listen, everyone. Yes, it is well known that Vrindavan measures only 5 yojanas, or 40 miles. But it is not like other places. Thus, in ancient times, Lord Brahma himself saw all the countless universes situated in just one corner of Vrindavan. You remember when Brahma tested Krishna by stealing all the calves and cowherd boys, and Krishna expanded himself in Vishnu's, who then all adopted the bodies of the stolen calves and cowherd boys. You remember also how there was absolutely no difference between the original set of boys and calves and the one which was expanded by Lord Krishna. Brahma came and he saw, whoop, I thought I stole them, but here they are. And then Krishna, in order to show him, revealed the innumerable forms of the Lord Vishnu, also known as Vasudev, and four-armed forms. And Brahma saw how from everywhere other Brahmas came to worship, and the universes were there, all in a corner of Vrindavan. Do you remember this, said Krishna's sister. This shows us that in one little dust particle of Vrindavan, unlimited space is included. Space and time, the two big parameters in this world, are transcended by Vrindavan. That means Vrindavan is all-pervading, and one meaning of Dham, Vrindavan Dham, is splendor, just like light extends and travels very far. Vrindavan is everywhere, even in England, or, dare I say it, Germany or America. It is there. And those who come into Vrindavan consciousness, whose consciousness connects with Vrindavan, they immediately make a link and they are immediately able to contact the Dham wherever they are. It's not just a little dot on the Indian map. It's all pervading. Therefore, yes, if your mind is in Vrindavan, you are in Vrindavan. I have on my writing table a little calendar which I will ask Hari Seva to bring for us, because there Prabhupada mixed transcendental mathematics, that he gives a formula, yes, by which we can be in Vrindavan. He says 5 plus 5 is equal to, don't worry, it's quite conventional in the beginning, 5 plus 5 is equal to 10, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. So, then he makes his point. Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. Krishna plus all the things of your life is Vrindavan. So do not forget Krishna, and you shall always be in Vrindavan. So during the month of Kartik, for most of us, according to our availability, we put Krishna more in the center. And as we are doing this, we are more and more and more in Vrindavan. We put Krishna a little in our center, we are a little in Vrindavan. If we put Krishna a lot in our center, we are a lot in Vrindavan. I wanted to share this. The third thing which I wanted to share with you is something so beautiful that I feel very shy to reveal it. Almost hesitant, but now, because it fills my heart, I must speak about it. So I was trying, like all of you, to increase my spiritual activities during this month, and now the last 2 days, miracles happened. I receive phone calls after phone calls from Vrindavan, from the Brijbasis. One Brijbasi phoned me yesterday evening time. It must have been rather late in Vrindavan, and said, "Maharaj, everyone is talking. Where are you? Where are you?" I said, but I never talk to anyone. Yes, but everyone has seen you and observed you. They all say we should greet you. I thought, wow, really, me? Yes. And then the devotee, Brijbasi, went to a few temples and showed me Radha Gopinath, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan. It was very, very loving. Then I received a voice message by the well-known and very affectionate Pundarik Goswami. He gives a lot of public katas, and like his father, he's extremely sympathetic to ISKCON, and a few of the older devotees are very deep friends of him. And he said, Maharaj, people talk about COVID-19 and they are panic about it, but I do know that you have a greater panic in your heart. You could not come to Vrindavan. But I want to say to you, we are all missing you and thinking of you. And when you are separated from something that is very important for you, then you will certainly, the next time you meet that person, have much, much more love and appreciation. Separation facilitates meeting. Yeah, then Simple Bridge Basis showed me parts of Vrindavan with their mobile telephones. And Krishna Murari Goswami from Nandagram showed me an aratik of Krishna Balaram. And in this way, I could receive many, many, many greetings from Vrindavan, and I could understand Krishna is taking care. Maybe the greatest realization is that point which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made. We are all the time seen. We are all the time perceived. We are all the time noticed. We only see a small little fraction of reality. Maybe like an ant which crawls over a table. I can see the ant walking by the clock, by the recording, by the mobile telephone, and the ant doesn't understand the clock or the recording device or the mobile telephone. It does not understand that we are looking at the ant. But we may even come and take a piece of paper and say, my dear little ant, you're coming too close to the prasadam, and we may put it under the legs of the ant and put it softly somewhere else, and the ant thinks I'm flying and does not understand. So in the same way as an ant is moved and seen, we are also moved by Krishna, who notices us all the time, especially at a time when we turn to him in sincere prayer. He has a weak spot in his heart. He likes his devotees. There is a prayer by Bilva Mangala Thakur which I would like to share with you. It's really good. It's really nice. O Krishna, he says, when the brahmanas chant your hymns, you become very shy and you are not seen by them. You're not revealing yourself to the brahmanas who chant hymns to you. But you roll in the dust of the courtyards of the gopas in Vrindavan because they have love for you. The brahmanas do things out of duty. Yogis sit for a long time in Padmasan. They want to see you in the heart. Finally, at the end, they see you in the heart, but you don't talk to them. However, if one small calf in Vrindavan says one moo, you immediately come. It doesn't have to do any pranayama and asanas. And you sit with the calf and talk to the calf. Do you wish to go now? Is the rope which is holding you too tight? Do your friends don't talk with you? Or do you experience some difficulty with the heat? You asked hundreds of things of the calf, but you talk only where you hardly talk to the yogis. Why? Because they do things out of mechanical duty, but the calf loves you. The prayer addresses a few more people who do certain spiritual practices to gain Krishna, and it always contrasts that you don't become revealed by these practices, but you run with the gopis and carry their cow dung on your head because they love you. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. He responds only to love and nothing more. And that I could experience also as I was chanting the holy name. It's not so important, I found out, to be absolutely mind focused and be able to sit for many, many hours without moving. No, that's not important. But what is important, or the way that Krishna responds to the chanting, is when you can do it out of love or out of genuine affection. Whenever you lose the connection while chanting, for instance, all of a sudden Krishna is gone. Prabhupada spoke about this in 68 when he made a morning walk with his early disciples in San Francisco. He said, chanting Hare Krishna and praying to Krishna, please give me strength. Hare, O energy of the Lord, I am fallen. I have no strength. Please accept me. Prabhupada goes on, I have no qualification. I'm frail. I'm trying. Yet I'm failing. All these appeals should be made. And Krishna is so powerful, he can do anything. Even if we just try our best, or if we do not perform, even if we fail, Krishna will help us. Just like a child, if it falls and cries, Mother, the mother will pick it up. What I want to come to is a takeaway of the month of Kartik. Something which is, I think, a most encouraging message to all of us. Often devotees tell me, Maharaj, I'm hopeless. I always fall back into my old patterns of thinking and behaving. I don't have much hope in my progress. And I answer, yes. Alone, you are helpless. But with Krishna's help, you are very hopeful. Your case is very hopeful. And here is the point. Krishna is not requiring the highest qualifications like the brahmanas have, the yogis have, those who offer Vedic sacrifices have. He is a god of love and only wants to see that you are trying your best, whatever your best is. There is a work of Jiva Goswami, the six sandharvas, and I will substantiate this point, which is so encouraging, by reading to you something which Jiva Goswami said. If someone develops the attitude of being a servant of Lord Krishna, by this attitude alone, one attains perfection. One may not do anything. One may just know, I am a servant of Krishna. By this inner orientation, this inner attitude, one attains perfection. What to speak, he continues, of the actual effort to serve the Lord. So, you may think this is such a revolutionary point. We would like to hear a little bit more to really have conviction in this bhava, in this inner feeling. And I was very happy. We have here in where we live before Berlin a group who meets for kirtan. They're called Braj Darshan. I'm looking to Gaur Krishna. There is a conference, something like this. And one devotee put something in this conference, a quotation from Prabhupada. If one simply continues to think that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other process of devotional service, he can attain full success. In your life, think, I'm a servant of Krishna. I belong to Krishna. Krishna is my eternal master. And remain in this attitude. I'm not separated from Krishna. Although now I'm in the world and I'm so overwhelmed by so many things that come to me, birth, old age, disease, or the big disease of modern life, anxiety, you know. Think, whatever it is, I'm simply a part of Krishna, a servant of Krishna. And this, my dear devotees, is your perfection. It is, of course, the beginning on the road to perfection, but from it, all perfection will come. One will attain full success, or as Jiva Goswami says, by this attitude alone one attains perfection. This is like a spark, a small spark that you have, and that will grow and grow, so that ultimately you will be able to do many things, from the offering prayers, dedicating the result of your activities, worshipping Krishna, like many of you did, remembering Krishna. And you will like to know more and more about Krishna. This is the very, very doable thing which you can do in your devotional service. So, Prahlad Maharaj was talking about this. He had just seen the Leela of Nrisimhadev. It took place in 48 minutes, the whole Leela, beginning to end, 48 minutes. This is the Lord with the shortest Leela on this world. And Prahlad had seen this, what Lord Nrisimhadev had come out of a stone pillar, he had dealt with the furious Hiranyakashipu and all his armies. And when the Lord was still angry and the ears were trembling, tick, 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 like a lion's ear, tick, 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 they were, and his tongue was moving like a sword, the Lord stood there and he prayed to the Lord. He was only 5 years of age. Children who are 5 years or they will never speak a lie. They always tell the truth. Maybe you have seen with your children. Sometimes it's uncomfortable truths which they speak. And he said, first of all, I'm born in the family of Asuras. Can I really offer prayers? And then he caught himself and he said, I have seen that not even the learned Lord Brahma, not even the saintly people who are in the world can satisfy the Lord by all the excellent words that they can up. But this one elephant, Gajendra, he was attacked by a crocodile and he simply called out to you with love and devotion, and you immediately appeared and helped him get free from the grip of the crocodile. So I have seen you are very merciful. You respond to genuine love and affection, not to high material qualifications. That is your wonderful nature. And when Krishna sees someone just thinking, I'm the servant, I'm the servant, I'm the servant. At the moment, I'm not able to render first-class service, but still I'm the servant, and he is my master. From that little understanding, you will attain all the perfection. Especially in the month of Kartik, where we did a little seva by waving the lamp. As we are coming to the end, I want to wrap it all up. I found a very, very nice scripture which summarizes what bhakti does. And I must say, I could experience, maybe not fully, but in some part, all these blessings of bhakti. And this was experienced during the month of Kartik by many people who are in contact and who said the same thing. The treasury of bhakti contains the following treasures. First of all, one gets a desire to achieve the ultimate goal of life. That is when you do bhakti a little bit, you think, oh, I really want Krishna, I really want this. Then you will be interested in the jewels of the Vedic literature. How can I find out more about Krishna? You will go to the jewels of bhakti. And there, to the Vedic scriptures, and there you will find true spiritual knowledge. A little bhakti gives you a current of the ocean, which is spiritual bliss. We have seen that every evening. We did our Damodar Puja. Gaur Krishna was singing. Our Padmakshi was playing cartels. Hari Seva at the end was also preaching, not preaching, he was singing very beautifully. Bhanu Nandini came also to attend the ceremony. It was very, very blissful. We could all feel. And one sees the bridge, which is the means of crossing the ocean of material existence. And when you do bhakti, you see, wow, in this way I can actually cross over the ocean of material existence. And you will also see a stairway to the kingdom of immortality. You will think, yeah, the first step, second step, third step, then one day I will do this, and in this way I will go to the eternal kingdom of God. In one word, bhakti gives hope. Deep, realistic hopes and the means by which this hope can be fulfilled. Yeah, I feel not so happy that I don't want to end here, but we have more going on. Today is the first day where we start to leave our cave, to go away from the tree, and we are very, under which we stayed 1 month, and to share with others. Let us continue to remain spiritually inspired also after the month of Kartik. For this I'm offering you my services in the form of online courses and seminars. I want to make announcements how we can stay in contact. First, the Facebook Live. There is monthly online Agora meditation. We will discuss the beautiful katha of Lord Chaitanya, who has opened a door through which everyone can easily go blissfully towards Radha and Krishna. Blissfully. So it's monthly online. You will find the announcements on this on my Facebook page. You will see on Facebook Live also monthly online presentations on the heart of the holy name. These are monthly training seminars to support your practice of japa and kirtan. They are very practice oriented. The next heart of the holy name, we will speak about a very amazing technique that allows the chanter to leave the worldly mind and come into the inner center of the spiritual heart, where there is the Lord present. And on the third thing on the Facebook is various online seminars like this lecture today or courses and so on. And you will see always announcements for the next things that are happening in there. You can find my Facebook link in the comment section. It should now go bling 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 most properly, or something like this. Secondly, my dear devotees, I do have a YouTube channel. Yes, I'm a very 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 modern man. You can watch video recordings from various courses. Like two things I would like to really recommend to you. That's actually three. One is Kirtan Experience, how you can dive into a real experience of the Holy Name. Then something which those who have seen it they found it very helpful, Bhakti Essentials. It gives you the fundament of Bhakti. And then the Living Name, a whole seminar on the Living Name, and so on. You can also watch 5 minute long wisdom videos. Yeah, especially now it's winter there. We have a few very nice ones from the summer, but they always bring a deep point. I mean, trying. Then third announcement, it is SoundCloud. On SoundCloud, you can listen to all previous Kartik Inspirations from this year and the past few years. There you can also find daily Japa Inspirations. They are only 5 minutes long to aid your daily Japa experience. And you can find their recordings of all meditations and exercises from the Living Name Book. This is, of course, the Living Name Book. I don't know if you can see it. Like here. Oops! Like this. Good. This book you can... Oh my God, this... I'm like a market here. Good. And finally, you can visit this evening's class. It's a Mahasangha from the Mena School of Bhakti. It's about the God who steals. I cannot tell you more. It starts this evening at 8:30 p.m. Central European Time. The Zoom link is also in your comments as well. Good. I'm very, very happy that I could talk to you. And my takeaway is, please stay in the mood of I belong to you, Krishna. I'm your servant. And from there, you will attain all perfection, because it will open some good devotional feelings. We will now end this section by Jai Shri Radhe.